I normally have extreme reluctance to talk about what I love to a very large crowd. The warrant itself tells us, or the Mishnah tells us, that certain areas that are prone to be misunderstood should only be shared in small groups. So I'm really doing it because Rabbi Jacobs wanted me to talk about this. And first, let me just mention a few basic things. Now I'll take a particular halachic issue just to give you an example of the methodology and some of the issues that come up. First, one has to understand that although Kirov Rechokim is a tremendously important thing, according to the Rambam, when we bring another Jew to Judaism, we are actually fulfilling the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Most understand that Kirov is benodim l'chavero, doing the person the chesed, the avdil areach kamocha. But the Rambam says it's not only the chesed I do for another person, it's an expression of Avas Hashem itself. Because if I love Hashem, I want Hashem to be served. I want to bring Hashem's children back in. I want to give nachas to the Rebbe Shlomo. The Rambam says, to be makarav people to karpe Ashkena is Avas Hashem. And obviously, a person gets very emotionally involved. One is committed to Kirov Rechokim. One is very emotionally invested in trying to bring people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there is a Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara is simply that people sometimes think that the ends justify the means. And there's such a thing as, for Kirov Rechokim, you can do anything. It's a so-called Kirov Hedger. So I guess the first basic point of wisdom that one needs to know is there is no such thing as a special Hedger for Kirov Rechokim, that one has to be Makarev within the parameters of Halacha. Now, yes, it is true that when there is a Machlokas HaPoskim, there are different views, some are stricter, some are more lenient. Certainly, Kirov Rechokim can be a major factor in being machriya, that one would follow a more lenient approach within halacha instead of a stricter approach. But that just means that it's a factor that is machriya within a machlokas. It is not itself a factor that would permit a leniency that would otherwise not exist. One way of putting it would be that in Kirov Rechokim, you go up to the cliff, but you don't go over the cliff. That's very important, and therefore you have to know the devul, and this takes, number one, a lot of learning, so anyone that's Eisek in Kirov has to continue to learn, but it also requires that one is makasher themselves to a posek that is knowledgeable, and part of it is because when you're emotionally involved, you become a nogei of a davar. And when you become a nogei of a davar, even if you're a great talmid chacham in your own right, you will sometimes bend the rules a little bit in order to come to a certain result. In fact, not apropos of Kirov, but to show you the Peyach of Megiyas, they say a big, they tell a mice about the Shach. The Shach is one of the great, great Gedolei HaPoskim, that the Shach once had a sichsuch of dine mamonis against somebody. And the Shach went to a basement, and the Shach presented his case, and one could imagine the type of case the Shach presented, with rayas from all Shachs and Rishayim all over the place. And the Shach lost the case. So the Dayanim said to the Shach afterwards, when they announced the Pesach, they said, you know, you had given us such an argument that for sure, you know, you convinced us. But then we came across a Sefer on Cheshen Mishpat that we just published. And the Sefer on Cheshen Mishpat slugged up all of your rayas, and it absolutely proved that the other side was right. That Sefer was the Shach's own Chibur on Cheshen Mishpat. The Shach's own writings. The Shach himself slugged up all of the rayas that he brought. But when it was Nogea the Dovar, so the Shach himself saw the rayas totally different. In Kirov Rechokim, it's a real mishnah. I think all of us know this, that you know we're so anxious to be able to do good work, to be able to do important work, to try to do something that has the best chance of being makarev of somebody. And therefore, as a result, even if we wouldn't openly break halacha, we'll sometimes interpret things a certain way. So that is why it is very important that one has a day on the bachutz, an objective day on the bachutz, someone who is both a talmid chacham and someone who is not directly involved in the situation, so that true das tira can be brought out. And we know that even in terms of kirov itself, even in terms of your goals, we know you're bringing people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But chaysamay shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, Hashem's seal is emes. You can't bring someone to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by breaking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's laws. You can't bring someone to a Kaddish Baruch Hu by misrepresenting Torah. Because it's Kumbha Kirif. You might be accomplishing something that looks like Kirif to Hashem. But how can it be Kirif to Hashem if it's a Sheker? How can it be Kirif to Hashem if it's Keneged, the Rasan Avere, as is defined in Halacha? We know, although this is a big machlekes, but the Marshal is a famous Marshal, again, Rav Meisher Tainitz, we perhaps don't pass him up the Marshal, but at least as a Rayan, it's an important Marshal. You know, when Tisha B'Av is coming, we're going to read the Gemara in Gittin about the story of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And if you remember, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, when Bar Kamsa was embarrassed and humiliated, he wanted to be Mekalkel, his own people, the Jewish people. So he told the emperor or the governor to send a behema to the Mikdash, and Bar Kamsa was Matul Mum. He put a blemish in the animal, and then he would use it as an excuse that the Jews don't respect the emperor and they're not Makar Korbanos. So the Chachamim realized if they wouldn't be Makar of this animal, theoretically, Kol Israel would be in danger. So they wanted to be Makar of it because to the Israel being Makar of Baal Mum is not one of the Gimel Chamures, and we do it from Makar, we do it Chedesh. But Rav Zecharia ben Avkila said, no, we can't do it, because people will infer from what we're doing that following women are permitted to be Nikra Bal Gabi Yimizbeach. And because of this, the Chachamim were not Makar. And then they said, well, let's kill the Shaliach, because he's a Rode, he's going to inform on us. But no. Can't do that either, because people will say a Matzah Mum gets Misa, but that's not the case. Now, Alim in the Emes, it seems the Chachamim listened. All the Rabbi Yochanan said it was the Chayav Ben Akluth was responsible for the Korban. That doesn't mean he was wrong, the Marshal says, because they listened to him. So, frankly, Marshal Lagasha, what's going on? Bikuach Nefesh says you can be Makar of an animal with a mum. Bikuach Nefesh says you can kill a rodent. So what is this idea? The fear of what people will say is more powerful than the Etzem Aveira itself? If the Etzem Aveira can be done, we're not going to be Kuach Nefesh. So what are we afraid of what people will say? So the famous Marshal, the Amishal Shlomo, says that even though you could transgress virtually any Aveira, we're not going to be Kuach Nefesh. But if you're going to be Mizayif the Torah, if you're going to communicate to people a falsity of Halacha itself, and that was his fear. If people would know we're killing the guy because he's a Raydeh, that's fine. If people will know we're Makar of the animal because it's Bikuach Nefesh, that's fine. But if people are going to get the impression that the Etzem Halacha is different, even though that wasn't our Kavanah, that is what is called a Ziyuv HaTorah. The Marshal says, for a Ziyuv HaTorah, Yehoreh V'Lalel. Now again, I know, we might just attribute, we don't pass him like that necessarily, so, but be it as it may, as Minyan of Hashkafi and Kira Bechaikim, it's a very, very true idea that you're not the Messiah. And again, it reminds us of the other Gemara, that with the Kohanim, around the roof of the Beis HaMikdash as it was burning, they threw the keys of the Beis HaMikdash back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, if we are not able to be the Gizbarim, if we cannot be the custodians of your bias, you take it. Lord tells us the hands came from heaven and took the keys. But that's the same thing. If a Yid feels, if a Makara feels, if a Rav feels, the Torah, Halach is too strict. I can't be Makara people if I have to follow all the Halachas. Well, the answer is, then give the keys back to Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom made the rules. Rav Shalom made the Torah. If he set down the rules, and if you think it doesn't work, which you're probably wrong, but if you think it doesn't work, it becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's achrayus. It's not my achrayus to try to bring people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself ruled out. There is a quote from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav wrote an interesting riot, a little bit of a technical riot, that even if by not giving in to, not bending the halacha, we would delay the coming of Mashiach even for a very long time. That even for B'yas HaMashiach, one cannot violate the Kutsa Shalya. And the Brisker of Shraya is this. The Gemara Sanhedrin discusses, somebody asked, where's Eliyahu HaNavi these days? Where does he hang out? So at the time the question is asked, it says, he hangs out in the city of Rome, and he's with the Mitzrayim, you know, people who are Shrek and sick, and he's changing their bandages, he's metabol with them, he's taking care of them. And the Gemara describes when he removes bandages and replaces, he does one person at a time, meaning to say, he takes off the bandage, puts on a new bandage, then does it to another person. He doesn't take off two bandages at a time, two people, and then do it. Why is that? So the other number he explained, because the problem is this. Mashiach could come any second. It could be a Zman of Gula any second. And there are certain Zmanim that are Mesubel for Gula, and if I don't respond exactly then, it's going to be too late, and maybe years or decades. So Mimela, I don't want to be in a position where I have two people I have to take care of. Because if Mashiach comes in the middle, I'm going to miss the opportunity. By the way, you see that he's going to miss the opportunity because he's going to be Metapu with the Chayim. There you see that he'll be Metapu with the Chayim. Therefore, I only do it one at a time. So when Mashiach comes, I only have one bandage to replace, and I can do it. So you see, in other words, you see from that Gemara, that's the first half of the Gemara, that Mashiach has a certain Zman, and when you're Matra and you miss the moment, there may be a very, very long wait. Oh. And yet, the Gemara in Erevin says that Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos, and the reason is that if you hold that there's an Isser of Tchum, going Chus L'Tchum, if you're above 10, Tzvachim, that's a machlokas, so Mashiach cannot come because he would be violating the Tchum, even though he's coming from the Svet. Now, Chayr, the Rishkar Rav says, but if the Pshat is, there's a certain Zman Mashiach has to come based on the Zachlias of all Israel, that when we're ready, it has to come, because a second later, the balance of Zachlias could change, then how could Mashiach not come if it's necessary to come? So you see, Taka, the Rishkar Rav says, that the Mashiach is not going to violate the Chum, even if that means that the Geulah is going to be delayed until a later moment when Kol Yisrael has all of those Zechuyas. So Hagam, that the Chumin is Rabbanan, like many Shitas. That's not even an Isser D'oraita. The Brisker Rav says that for Hatzolas Kol Yisrael, you don't violate the Inyan of Halacha, Kal V'chemer for Hatzolot Yichidim, as important as it is to bring them to Torah. So this is an important thing. Again, it's pashut, but it's worthwhile to remember that basically the maftechas of Torah and Kedusha were given, they belong to Hashem, they were given to us as custodians, and we don't have rishus to be mezalzel with them. We have to do them the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do them, and if we think it doesn't work, then we can throw back the keys to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, you be mitarev on Yisrael if we're not able to to do it. And again, the Kuzari says, by the way, that another is an old cheshman, that another Menavim died because they brought Eish Zora, and Chazal have all sorts of interpretations, and they didn't want to get married, they were Mera Halacha B'Fnei Rabbah. The Kuzari, so the question is, how does that fit with Eish Zora? The Torah says that Eish Zora. So the Kuzari says, metaphorically, that's what Eish Zora is. Eish is passion, enthusiasm. A person wants to become close to Hashem. But something is Zara when we want to become close to Hashem in a way other than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So Mecha B'Liyah didn't want to get married. They thought they could be separated from the Gashmias, etc. Mayra Halacha means they weren't, they didn't like the halachic system they were looking for, what we would call today, Lahavdil, New Age spirituality. Even Shasu Yayin, they wanted to, because he says they wanted to elevate their emotional feelings to be to Hashem. Everything was Hashem Shemayim. But it's called Zarus. Called Zarus. Because you can only become dovuk to Hashem by following the Mahalchim of Hashem, and the ends do not justify the means. And the ends themselves are not going to be realized. Again, I don't want to be bothered too much at this point, but if you look at the Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh HaChaim was written in the generation when Hasidus started. We know that the Golden Gaon was misnagged in a very, very strong way. Nefesh HaChaim is a very gentle sefer. The whole tone of the machlokes was radically different, and that's a whole interesting discussion. That's the other class I give on the intellectual currents in Kol Yisrael. But if you look at the Nefesh HaChaim's timeline, and Nefesh HaChaim does not mention Hasidus or anything by name, the Nefesh HaChaim timeline is that although Kavana and Dveikus are very, very essential in Avodas Hashem, Kavana and Dveikus, but the Kavana and the Dveikus has to be mechubar to the dictum of the Halacha. that a kavana and a tevekas that is minutach from the halachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately going to lead you to a false end, and it will lead to a rihok from Hashem and not a kirub from Hashem. That's why he was makban on zmani tefila, all of these different inyonim. You know, he gives a mashal there with that mishkan. He gives a mashal about, let's say somebody wants to make a seder, but, not during Pesach. They're too tired during Pesach. So they say, isn't the Yikr of Yisias Mitzrayim to feel that Hashem took me out of Abbas Lechavis, to feel the Godless above it? I could do that better, a week after Pesach. Wouldn't it make sense? By the way, I once told this story over to a group of people who were not so religious. And a woman actually said, we actually did that. We couldn't get the family together for Pesach. We made the Seder a week later. It was wonderful. Life never takes art, so to speak. But this is exactly what the kind of legendary legend is talking about. So I do want to emphasize, therefore, that number one, there are many reasons why somebody that's secure for fighting should keep on learning. There are a million reasons, besides the mystical tongue and title. But also, one of the reasons is that you're going to be confronted with shyness, and I'll mention some of them, day after day after day. If you don't learn, how are you going to be able to direct? But besides your own learning, as important as it is, one does need a disinterested koach haTorah, disinterested posek. Now, disinterested does not mean uninterested. Disinterested means objective, in case people don't know the English word. But okay. A disinterested posek that will be able to look at things objectively and weigh the pros and the cons, and will give you guidance, because Negigas is a very, very strong strong factor here. Now, let me just say, though, that it is also important that it be a posek that is very familiar with the facts of your Seviva and on your ground. Pirkei Avos tells us, Al tazin es chavercha ad shetagia l'mekama. Don't judge a person till you're in the situation, till you're in his place. And as the Svasana said, that's almost impossible. It wouldn't be exactly in his makom. I don't want to give you any categorical rule where the posek in Eretz Yisrael should not posek in America or vice versa. I don't want to say that, although I'm a little inclined to that. But it does mean it has to be someone that knows the situation. Frankly, kihilas have different pressures. There are going to be different circumstances. There may be situations that, although it is true that I said a while ago that there's no automatic kirub heter, but a shas hatchak can certainly be machriya in a machlokas haposkim. And to whether a situation is a shas hatchak or not sometimes depends on a very, very clear understanding of what a situation is. So it is important to find a posek who is both a tamid chacham, a sensitive person in ben adam l'chaveira, and a person who understands the psychological and emotional issues connected to kirub v'chokim, as well as someone who needs to be educated as to the facts of the community. I'll tell you that even when you go to Gedolei Olam Mamish, person who went to Rabbi Yashiv, Gadol Hador, Gadol Olam Mamish, he would often say, you have to ask somebody who is familiar with the individual matzah. And that's actually the sign of an Adam Gadol, that an Adam Gadol understands that sometimes there is a mitzias issue that needs to be understood by somebody who is actually there. And that's Al Tadmas Chaberach, Atriyam Kainai. And the Svarim tell us that this is the meaning of the phrase that a Dayan must Dan Din Emes Niyamita. And Chazal say they have a legend. A Dayan that is Dan Din Emes Niyamita has tremendous reward. Now, what is Emes Niyamita? Truthfully truthful. What is the double lashon of Emes Niyamita? So the Svarim tell us that there are two levels of Emes in any Pesach. There is the Emes of the Torah itself, that one looks at the Makoros, one looks at the Shitos, and one understands the halachic issue, and one comes to the Hachra of Halacha. But then there's a second level of Emes, in which you then have to apply the halacha to the mitzias of the situation. Now, the Gomer Gaon writes, this is the Gra. The Gra actually writes in Mishnah. The Gra writes, it is entirely that a Dayan is mechaven to the Emes of the Pesach Halacha. But the Dayan may not understand the Mitzias. And the Megla, the Halacha as it applies to that Mitzias, is not going to be correct. So that's a special Maila of Emes Liamitai, that the Dayan needs both to know the Halacha hence how to apply it to that given disease. And that's a separate challenge. And because of this, again, I'm not a priority issue of Sakalava. But I will say that the dynamics in America are sometimes different, particularly in smaller towns and college campuses. And some of what goes on, I'll pee that on a Sakalava poster, would frankly shock many posting inhabitants. So they wouldn't believe it happens. And one needs to know, therefore, who to go to. I don't mean Shaparav for Kulas. I do not mean Shaparav for Kulas. You go to a Chashuv Talmud Chacham, but somebody who just knows the Messias and is then able to be Machia. And then you're Makabal, whether it's the Kula or the Chumrah. You are Makabal. A person has to be Makabal himself to the Rosh Hashanah, even if that means the effectiveness of your program, you feel in the short run, might be compromised. So this is kind of some general perspectives on this. Now, just to give you a short thing before I go into a specific issue. You know, Oral Gola gives a course. I give a course in regard to halachic issues of Kiruv V'Chaykin. And, you know, the number of weeks varies. But just to give you an example, just to give you a list of the types of issues that you're going to face, and this is going to be true, whatever your career path is. This will certainly be true if you're going to be a rav in the shul, if you're a campus rav who runs a Kiruv organization. To some degree, it will even be true if you're going to chinuch, because if you are teaching children, parents will come to you and hopefully look for you as some sort of authority as well. We have a whole bunch of issues of ishas, of marriage, which women can marry kohanim. Do women today have a cheskes kashrus l'kahuna? The laws of lashon hara as they apply to shidduchim. We discussed the famous tshuva of the native Yehuda. If a woman commits adultery, a woman's a sita, she's mezana, and she tells you, do you have to tell the husband? Is the husband mechayev to separate? Are you allowed to tell the husband? Shouldn't you tell the husband? Again, I'm not giving any answers to this because all of these are long things. If the wife doesn't tell, should you tell? Should you not tell? Standard psychologist is not to tell, but you said you do tell. The issue of transitional hetero and taras and mishpacha. How does that work? A couple is not religious. Number one, let's say they're not even married, and they don't want to get married. Are you miyayet the woman to at least go to the mikvah? So halachos, it shouldn't be me that, shouldn't be Israel can wait. Are you encouraging sin by doing that? Or are you muscled down from a bigger head? The chayv of need. What do you do? If they are married, and they're not ready to keep 12 days a month or longer, so is there an asa to be miyayet them to keep the 7 days the oraisa, which don't require zayin nikiyim? Right? All of these are younger that are very, very serious in them. On one hand, you're trying to be muscled people from chatayim. On the other hand, you're giving them an asa to be eager with their shalos. Is it better to be shevi al tasa, what they're doing is what they're doing, or is it better to be muscled? Again, these are the types of issues. Seder kedushin for a non-observant couple. Are you allowed to be the seder kedushin? You know ahead of time that a couple is not going to keep a tarish mishpacha. And then, at the aside, we will be dealing with issues of mamzerus. Now again, this would not be for you to prosecute. This would have to go to Gedolei Meri Hara. But as you know, it's a commonplace in rising divorces that many children, many kids, many men or women, are children of second marriages when the first marriage didn't have a get. And there's at least a chashash that somebody who's now a bal tshuva might have the stigma of a mamzer. And as you know, what Meshes Ma'alech was, that we looked at the first marriage, and if the first marriage didn't have kosher eidim, so the male didn't need a get. And that is the Ma'alech that has been masil, literally, probably hundreds, not thousands, hundreds of people from mamzerus. But the emes is, that psak itself was not universally mukubal. Repentant, for example, held that even if a marriage ceremony was puzzled, if they were living together k'ishvi'ishtay, and Orthodox people knew about it, that made it a marriage. Rav Yoshev had paskin, l'chatchila, a get should be okay. Okay, so these are diyunim. Every case one has to go over. And then, of course, you might be dealing with aguna issues. That's not so much a kiruv issue, but Mela, people, you know, when people approach you about personal problems in their lives, You can't say, well, I only can hear the public stuff. Once you get involved in people's lives, there are going to be issues about helping a woman get a gift from a husband who refuses to give a gift. Right? So that's kind of issues of marriage that are very big. Issues of family planning, abortion, birth control. These are going to come up. Again, they're not curative issues, but remember, if you're dealing with people who come from a lifestyle in which all of these things are there as a matter of course, and you have to help them transition to das Torah, to following the halacha, you have to be at least be aware of what halacha allows, what it doesn't allow. A third topic, our relationship to Geirim, Goyim, and Mechalel Shabbos. Teaching Goyim Torah. Are you allowed to teach Goyim Torah? What types of things? What is the status of a Mechalel Shabbos? If he touches wine, can he be counted for a minyan? Can he be called for an aliyah? Can he get kibbutim and shul? Can he get a bracha under the chuppah? This idea of kinyan shenishpah, you know, the Binyan Sion in the 19th century, at the beginning of the Reform Movement, did articulate an idea that many Mechalel Shabbos who were not given the right to shenach may have the status of a tinyan shenishpah. But you may also know that in Eretz Yisrael, for wine at least, many poskim refuse to accept that characterization. Right? So these are issues that you have to know. Is wine going to be different than counting for a minyan or a bracha or whatever it is? Like, what is the status of all of these inyanim? Okay. And then the proper environment of learning Torah, when you're confronted with women that are not sanua, either married women not covering their hair or women that are dressed much worse than that, are there halachas? There are halachas. Now, how do I daven? How do I say Torah? Chazon Ish actually said, and if anything, this might be the one case where the Chazon Ish actually gave a clear center. It's very fascinating. In spite of what I said, he said to teach Torah in front of women that are not the Malubish Kasneas. The Chazon Ish actually mockered. He called that an Eislas Eislasha. It's amazing that in Acharon, only the Chazon Ish could say something like that. But for Gabi that, he was willing to say Eislas Eislasha, a favorite Torah. But once again, we can't do that on our own. And one would need a she'las chacham on all of these different inyanim. So these are just a small sample of the types of things that go on. Just an amazing diversity. And there'll be many, many more issues. There'll be issues of burial, cremation. Does a person sit Shiva, you know, for a parent that was cremated? Does a person sit Shiva for their father that was a goy? Now, assuming he's their Jewish mother. Etc. Kaddish, all of these different inyanim. These will come up. Meaning, as a general rule, when you're involved to bring somebody to Yiddishkeit, you know, your job is not finished when you've gotten them to keep Shabbos and then you go on to the next person. Hopefully, they are a part of your life. You are a part of their life. They will look to you. Now, maybe they'll find in the years other Rebbeim, other Rabbanim, other sources. But hopefully, you will continue to be a source. And as a result, you know, we will be confronted with all of these issues, you know. People talk a lot about the need for a second stage relationship with Zero Bechot. And sometimes what happens in Jewish outreach is we're so interested in getting new bodies in. So once I got somebody to fill, I put him on the bookshelf, forget about him. He's already filled, let him be a regular Orthodox person. But you know, people who didn't have the family connections and they don't have a whole circle of people continue to need guidance and hakaracha. And hopefully, you know, you will continue to be a person that will give them guidance and hakaracha. So this is a complicated thing. In a way, it's easier to stay in kolel and not confront all of these issues. But the emphasis, if the ultimate chashivas of Torah is le'asuke shmaisa libin hilchasa, then the ability to apply it to concrete situations is really the ultimate test of how we have internalized the Torah, how we have mastered the Torah. But again, I do emphasize that on one hand, you cannot be an amoris about this. You need to be very, very well educated. On the other hand, you should try whenever possible not to be the final pisik in this simply because you're a Magei of a Dover. I include myself, Magei of a Dover, whenever you need something outside and the like. And again, to go back for a moment, fertility technologies, now we have so much amazing things. Besides the beak of fertilization, we have egg donation, surrogacy. Now you can say, oh, if somebody asks me, I would tell them not to do this stuff, but that's not how you're going to get the shayla. You're going to get the shayla. Hey, I have my sister, a woman might tell you, I have my sister or my mother know, carrying my fertilized egg because I had a hysterectomy, I don't have room. Well, that's great. The problem is, if your husband Sarah is in your mother-in-law, in your mother's Russia, do we have a mamzer, Shaila here? Right, so these are the women that one has to be very, very careful. So I would like to take, in the brief time that we have, just one little Shaila. And again, I do want to emphasize, I'm absolutely not giving you any halakhic advice whatsoever on this, but just to tell you what a few poskim have said about it. And that is the issue of making events, organizing events, extending invitations, whether it's to the Klal or to Yechidim, for Shabbos events that in all probability will result in people driving on Shabbos, or otherwise being Mechal Shabbos. It can either be, I invite you, or invite somebody, and they're going to drive, or even if it's just a general event. And obviously, to tell any charitable organization, well, the answer is don't do events on Shabbos. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, everybody's know that, that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Moshe, it has a tremendous Hashva, and the like. And yet, in many, many cases, we are setting people up for a form of Chilul Shabbos. So what exactly would the issues be? So first of all, it's not even so clear how to characterize them, because we have two halachic concepts that are interrelated. There is, of course, a d'oraisa d'kedin of lifnei iver l'sitei nichshol, that you don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man, and the Gemara of Yisara says that that is really an expression which really refers to is that I cannot give wine to a nazir. If the Nazir wants to drink wine, I'm not allowed to be mentioned to I am the Nazir. I'm not allowed to give even to a Goy, Eber Min Achai, to a Goy. So the Hebrew even applies to the Immaculate Goy in the Sheva Mrs. Renaya. I cannot cause people to do an Aveira. Right? That's a lab of Lifnei Iber. That's a Doraisa type. Now the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the Doraisa Dika lab of Lifnei Iber is very limited. It only applies when the wine is on a different side of the river. Right? The Nazir is on one side of the river, Treyad and Nimahala, and the Jew is on the other side of the river, and the Goy could not the Goy, the Nazir could not get the wine without my assistance, so the Aveira would not have been committed without me. So if I am the only reason this Aveira could be done, that's called Litnei Iber L'Sitei Nichshol. But if the wine and the Nazir and the other guy are all on the same side of the river, so even without me, the guy, the Nazir, could take the wine. So even if I bring it to him, the Gemara says, "Befeirish, I am not over on Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Nichshol, because he could do the Aveira without me. We are chai avra in Ahara." So that's what the Gemara says. Question. Therefore, am I permitted to give the Nazir the wine? Am I permitted to give the Nachri Eidim and Achad? Can I pass the ham sandwich, if you could reach it anyway? So here we have a big Machlokes Rishonim. The Mordechai says, if there's no Lifnei Iver, it's Mutter. I can give the person a ham sandwich. If there's no Lifnei Iver, it's Mutter the God. But Tosfos says that even if there's no Lifnei Iver to Oraisa, there's an Isur D'Rabbanan to cause somebody to do an Aveira, and that is called Misayeya Mikar Aveira. And Tosfos says, Misayeya is an Isur D'Rabbanan. Okay, so if it's Trey Avra D'Nahara, you have a Lifnei Iver to Oraisa, and if it's Chad Avra D'Nahara, like the Mordechai Tzimutur, Tosfos says there's an issue to Rabbanan. The Rabban in Yavre, there's a steer of the moment. The Rabban in Arachayim, paskins like Tosfos that there's an issue to Rabbanan, and this is generally how we paskin. Now, the interesting conceptual question is this. It's not being a character. I invite somebody to my house, and they're going to drive. Is that Lifnei Iver? Or is it Misayaya, or maybe it's neither? Now, you might say, well, it's not Lifnei Iver, I didn't give them the car. They had the car, they could have done this Aveira without my invitation. But they wouldn't have done this Aveira. Now, they may do other Aveira. So the question is, is the definition of trei avodinahara. They couldn't do the avera without me? Or is it they wouldn't do the avera without me? If you define it, they couldn't do the avera without me, then at worst, now it's still a question, at worst, my invitation is only an issue to Rabbanan of Misayeya, because I'm not enabling them to do the avera. They could drive to my house just to visit me anywhere or somewhere else. If, on the other hand, you define trei avodinahara as they wouldn't do the avera without me, then you might have to deny that this specific rabbi is in a area they wouldn't have done. Now, it seems from the Lashon of the Pesach, the question we don't discuss, they don't phrase the question this way, but you often see that the Pesach is actually in their mind that you're dealing with Misaleya, not with the Hebrew Yoraisa. It's an interesting point. That's going to have some nafkaminas in the analysis. And apparently, they go with the idea that since the guy has his own car, so you can never say he couldn't do the Avera without him. So at most, I'm encouraging him by an invitation. So, there are a few things to keep in mind. I want to mention four different svaras that are given by different poskim that would allow extending an invitation. Again, this is not a lahu l'maaseh to somebody, even if you know they're going to drive, provided, at least, you offer them an opportunity for accommodation, and you're willing to live with it. And that means, by the way, that if you have 300 people coming, you have to be able to split up 300 people. But now, hedge number one, which may not work in many cases of kiruv, is the following. The Shachin Yerideya and the Dogon Rebbe, the Menuchin Yehuda, say a very important rule. They are mechalek between Lifnei Iver, which is a Doraisa, and Nisayeya. And the double Rebbe is Mechadesh, that even though Lifnei Iver prohibits me from causing any Jew or Goy to do an Aveira, when we're dealing with Nisayeya, it does not apply to a Goy. So if a Goy is on the same side of the river as Eber Menachai, I could give it to the Goy. It does not apply to a Mumer, a habitual violator. And the negative Yudah says it doesn't apply to any Jew who is Eiver B'mezit. And the svara of that is the following. The negative Yudah reasons, again, the negative Yudah is enlarging on the Shachar. The Shachar said Mumer, the negative Yudah extends it to any Mezit. He says that the issue of the Sayeya is, since I am Mechuyiv to stop you from sinning, then how can I encourage him to sin? Right? It's a violation of my ideas to stop him. But I'm not mechuyev to stop somebody if he's not mekabel teichacha. So Mimela, given the fact that most mechuyev are not going to be mekabel teichacha, so b'chiyai gavna, even though you can't commit a lifnei violation, the Mimela says you could commit misayeya is not triggered in this case. So you get a very, very odd result according to this. So it turns out, if you treat this as a misayeya, and the guy who drives knows he's not supposed to drive on Shabbos, but he's going to do it anyway, you would be allowed to let him do it. On the other hand, in many cases of kiruv, Badafia, people may not know. Another svara that from the Ksav Sefer, now the Ksav Sefer was not talking about Shabbos, he was talking about a different thing. He was talking about the Masada Kedushin for a couple that is not going to keep Tavos in Mishpacha. And the Ksav Sefer says, assuming you're only dealing with Misayeya, you're giving them the framework where they can sin, the Ksav Sefer says, the Isra of Misayeya is only if at the time you're giving them the assistance, they're doing the Avera, like I give the Nazir the wine. But if I do something now that will enable them to sin later, that's not Nichlal in the Isra of Misayeya. So to be Masada Kedushin now, because of Avdiya later, it's not Misayeya. Same thing with the invitation. I invite them on Thursday, the Avera is done later. I'm not Misayeya at the time of the Avera. A third lomdus is from the Marsham. The Marsham was a very, very great Pesach in Galicia in the early part of the 20th century. The Marsham says that Misayeya is only when you are physically giving them the instrumentality of sin. You're giving them the wine. You're giving them the Eber Menachai. you're giving them the ham sandwich. Like I tell you, if I invite somebody and they take their own car, I was not moser the chetzer of the aveira. The Marsham's tshuva was not about driving on Shabbos. The Marsham's tshuva was about renting an apartment. That's also relevant. Should I leave in the Nazir era? Can I rent my apartment to people who will be doing aveiros in the apartment? Whether it's the Mishra Zachor or just Nus or even Chil Shabbos. And the Marsham says, even though you're giving them the apartment, now it's not with Nayib there because they can get an apartment somewhere else. So Lechara, you're Nisayeya by giving them a place. But the answer is, you're not giving them the chatsa of the Aveira. The Marsham said, now again, whether or not you should follow that, that's a shot. The Marsham himself says, you shouldn't rent your apartment out to people that are going to do very bad things. But in terms of Nisayeya, it wouldn't be a shot. Okay. These are side points, but the Yikra I want to share with you is really the revolutionary approach of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which to some degree Orson Mech has followed over the years. In fact, it was first articulated in a letter sent to the Russian yeshiva, which was then suppressed for a number of years in the Torah world, but then it reemerged in the Minchas Shlomos, etc. And I don't want to go through all of the ins and outs of the letter, but essentially Rav Shlomo Zalman articulates the following chiddush. And again, I do want to repeat that none of this is halacha l'maaseh, just to tell you what he says. In the Minchas Shlomo, Chelak Aleph, Siman Lamed Hey. And actually, he's not talking about, unlike the letter you're saying, he's not talking about driving a child. He is talking about another halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is very analogous, that is giving food to somebody. Shulchan Aruch is a favorite child. I am not allowed to give food to a person who is not going to do the Tila Shadayim, or make a bracha Bishana, or bracha Hamona. Because I'm either over at Lutzneiber, if he wouldn't get the food otherwise, or at least Misayeya, and therefore I'm causing a sin to be committed. But you might not even have the Marsham's Hezrek of giving him a chavis that you can eat without a brother. So the question becomes, or Shlomo Zalman was asked, I got this worker coming to fix my air conditioning. He's a chiloni, and he's schwitzing. And what? I'm not allowed to give him a drink of water, because he's not going to make a brother. So Shlomo Zalman says that you are mechuyev to give him food and drink, even if he's not going to make a bracha. Because here is the insight. The iser of lifnei iver is the Torah says, don't be machshir another person. If the result of not giving him the food is he's going to have averus that are much worse, he's going to hate from you, he's going to hate Torah, he's going to think that the path of Torah is that is cruel and rude. So it turns out there that by not giving the food, you're going to be given a greater outlook than if you give the food. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he uses this analogy. There's an issue of chayda, right? Not allowed to be chayda. But if a doctor amputates a finger so that the gangrene shouldn't spread into the patient, we're not going to look at the amputation as an act of chavola. It's a chavola in order to prevent a much greater. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman makes the following chiddush, which is a very important chiddush. I am not allowed to be oider an aveira kala to be matzil somebody else from an aveira chamura. He gives an example. You know, midrabanan, you're not allowed to be matzil shkumas and maestros and shabbos. So let's say I have a guy who doesn't care, and he's going to eat tevel. So you might think, maybe it's good for me that you over the Isser Drabbanan of being Mafresh, Trumos, and Nisris, in order to be Mazalim from the Isser Tevel, which like some opinions at least might be Isser D'Oraisa, although most opinions say not, but let's say Tevel would be D'Oraisa. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, no, Ein Oimrim L'Yadav Chatei, B'Shvil Shkiske Chavera. You cannot be over even a small Aver, to prevent somebody else from being either a big aver. But legabe lifnei iver is a different calculation. I am allowed to cause somebody else to be either a smaller aveira if that will be matzel them from a bigger aveira. Because even though on some sense comes lifnei iver and siyaya, no, it's considered to be a takala, a menias takala. In other words, the issue of lifnei iver is not to be machshel. Here the hakshava goes the other way. Based on this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote in another letter with the same effect, if you can judge, and this is, I think, where you especially need the input of an objective doctor, that it would be toxic. That if you don't invite the person for Shabbos, what is he going to do? He's not going to stay at home. I mean, let's say you were to tell the person, I'm sorry, you can't drive in Shabbos. Now, if what's going to happen is the guy's a good person, the guy will stay at home, the guy will not be a chidus, then ain't nothing happening. Then it's kedai to tell him, don't come. But if it's somebody who anyway is going to be mechallel Shabbos, and the chilul Shabbos is likely to be much more than the particular chilul Shabbos of driving, it may be maybe a million things. It may be driving other places, going to the beach, going to the movies. There'll be no Suda Shabbos, there'll be no Kiddush, there'll be no Birchas Hamazon. And that's even in the short term. And in the long term, there's a potential of Kiruv V'chayim. Again, I'm not giving a lot of advice, but according to Rav Shlomo Zalman's Cheshren, it would be kedai to be machshel, so to speak, somebody in one Aveira, in order to prevent greater Aveiras in the future. He brings a raya to this Sfora from Rabbi Kibayger. Hagalish Rabbi Kibayger. Rabbi Kibayger has an odd case. We know that when you cut, when a man cuts off his payas or shaves the beard with a razor, he's actually getting around two lav. Because there's a lav to be a makif, there's a lav to cut it off, and there's a lav to be a nikah. So if I do it to myself, I'm either on makif and nikah. Now, a woman does not have the iser to be makif. She doesn't have the iser of nikah, and therefore she doesn't have the iser of makif. So the debate discusses the shayla, is a woman allowed to give a prohibited haircut to a man? So you might think, well, even though the woman is not embarrassed of anything, she can't give it to the man because she's causing the man who's over the avera of nikah. So she's either with the iver or it's misayaya. Zachra v'kivayim the following disorder. If the woman, I'm not dealing with tzniyas this year, I guess I'm simply putting that aside. Let's say it's a daughter, a mother, a wife. The issue would be this. If the man would do it without her, now that negates with Nehiver for sure anyway. But here's where v'kivayim smart. The avera he would be committing would be worse. If he does it to himself, he is over on makif v'nika. If she does it to him, she's not a veris of anything. He's only a ver on nikah. Zavra v'kivayger, he's Masoch, but he doesn't say for sure, but he says, yesh shvara leimar, that she is allowed to be garvim him, to be Iver on nikah, in order to be masalim from being Iver on makif on nikah. Zavra Shlom Zalman, this could be a big machayach in the law of Misayaya, because Misayaya was supposed to be rather the concept over there, that you could cause someone to do an Aveira Kala, of course, Chilul Shabbos is not a Kala, but in order to prevent the greater Kala, both by the Kala and even possibly by the driving of the car. Now, I just want to point out that the Chazon Ish, who does not address this issue, the Chazon Ish says in Hilchos Shviyos, he says, we Bedavka do not follow this Lundus. He only says it from Makom Sabek. Chazon Ish says the following. The Mishnah in Shviyos says that if a person is an Am Haaretz who's chashuv to do Avodah and Shmita, you're not allowed to sell or rent him or lend him implements like a plow that can only be used for agricultural work because your gairim, it's Misayaya. Basically, you're Misayaya in Avera, even if you get the Nazareth. That's actually a riot of Mikoskim like Tysus. There's an issue of Misayaya. However, the Mishnah says, if you give him kelim that can either be used for permissible activities or not permissible, even if it's more likely he'll use it for impermissible activities, you are permitted. Now, the Chazon Ish says, why? I mean, if there's an issue of Misayaya, then at least it's a Sopet Misayaya. So the Chazon Ish says that he understands the Mishnah based on Rav Shlomo Zalman's Cheshbon, but with a twist. If you wouldn't lend the Am Haaretz, he would come to be a hater of Torah. He would hate Torah and Mitzvahs. And as a result, the Averus he would commit would be much worse than violating Shemitah. That's why, when it's a Sopet, you take the chance. So what does the Chazon Ish say? We go with Rav Shlomo Zalman's Sfora when it's a Sopet that he'll do the Averus, but we don't matter it when it's a Bara that he'll do the Averus. Chazanish does not quote Rebbe Akiva everywhere, but it's interesting that the Chazanish goes with the Mahalach, but only with Makam Sabek, not the Makam Bala. Again, as it may, how you pass it, I have to leave up to your process in the Mora Ra. Let me just say that Rav Moshe Sternbach does have a Beferish in Shuba, specifically about inviting people who will drive on Shabbos, and he absolutely does monitor it. If it could lead to a cure for Chaykin, even though you never know for sure. So Rav Moshe Sternbach does monitor it. On the other hand, Rav Vajner answers it. And I can't end without mentioning Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was considered to be the place of America. Interestingly enough, Rav Moshe, in an old tshuva more than 50 years ago, actually did answer it, but he had a very creative, a new chiddush. Rav Moshe has a tremendous chiddush that no one else agrees with. We've been analyzing this with Ne'iver, the Sayeya. Rav Moshe says, with Ne'iver and the Sayeya is when the Nazir on his own wants to drink the wine and you give it to him. With Ne'iver and the Sayeya. But when you create the circumstance which gives him the desire, Rav Moshe's Mechadish, it's a whole new category called Mesis of all things. A Mesis is an enticer in the Zara. We know that a mesis is chayiv misa. Now the pashtus of mesis is a mesis is only for avodah zarah, but for a mesis mechadesh, that even though the chayiv misa is only for avodah zarah, the yisur of mesis applies to all others. He brings a raya. People think it's a raya. The raya is because the Gemara says the first mesis was the nachash. Right? What's the raya that we don't show rachamim to a mesis? Because the nachash told Chava to eat from the tree, any time the mesis. Great Rav Moshe, eating from the eggs of das isn't a bodhisattva. Okay, you talk about that. So vice the chayis, any other is a bit of a mesis. Now, so what is your Moshe telling me? If you want to drink the wine, you want the ham sandwich, and I pass it to you, that's with the Hebrew, that's with the Hebrew. But if I say to you, would you like a ham sandwich? Zucker Rav Moshe, that's not with the Hebrew. That's mesis. So Rav Moshe says, when you set up a program that is inviting people to be Mechal Shabbos, forget about the Sayyaya. Rav Moshe says it's Mesis, Rav Moshe says the body is Asher. Again, none of us can be Machmiya here in Ahura Machadolim, but just be aware that Rav Moshe has a very, very strict shita on these programs. Rav Shlomo Zalman has an intent to be Mekel, and Rav Sternbach has an intent explicitly. Make a lot of these young, but all of the Tosafot do give you a getter that it has to be that you do offer them accommodations, and they also mention another pref that if you're inviting people, it's better to invite them for Friday night than for Shabbos day, because when you invite them Friday night, you're creating the situation where they can come before Shabbos, and once they're there, you know, you could pocket the 12 keys, but you could find some way to take away the keys and have them stay. On the other hand, when you specifically target your invitation for Shabbos day, that creates almost inevitability that there'll be Mechal Shabbos. One other thing that's interesting is there a chiluk between what you might call an organized keyword program, a Shabbaton and speakers and shiurim, and simply a social event, like come to my house for Shabbos or bar mitzvah or something like that. Logically, some have written that this is only a heter, again, it's a shtickel keyer heter, but based on this lumbus, that it's only when there's a long-term prospect that you're doing something that can make somebody a Shomer Shabbos, not if it's just a hit-and-miss, sporadic social event. On the other hand, I have to say that it could be, based on our Shlomo Zalman's lumbus, it might be that even a casual invitation would suffice, because here's the get, if you don't invite him, there's going to be like 24 hours of chilul Shabbos. If you do invite him, there's only going to be 18 hours of chilul Shabbos plus the drive. So it might be, if you took Rosh Shlomo Zalman to the furthest extreme, now I'm not saying you should or you could, but it might be based on his longest. The heter does not even depend on the long-term potential of kiruv. That Shabbos kufa might be considered to be a hatsala from the bigger mission. Yesh La'ayim is that I have not seen any poskim have been willing to go that far, and I'm certainly not taking the achrayas. But once you go with that cheshbon, there are many, many possibilities. Again, I just hope this illustrates that these aren't complicated questions. They depend very much on the facts of every matzah, and I just repeat once again that one needs to both continue to learn about halachas and to have a pesach that one can practice.